Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. I'm joined today with Daniel Seckham, all the way from Australia. Good morning, Daniel. How are you today, sir?
Very good. Great to be with you again, Vincent.
Yeah, well, you're looking a lot better, and I'm trusting you're feeling a lot better than you were last week.
I was pretty shady last week.
But you did great.
I was pretty close to pulling out, but I thought, nah, I'm just going to suck it up and just do it.
No, I'm glad I did. Yes, I am too, because lots of people were asking for that ministry last week. It was terrific. Now, Daniel, before we get into the meat of what we're talking about, I just heard that you have begun a Bible study out in Australia, which is with the local people there, but you're also getting ready to begin a Zoom Bible study so people around the world can join your Bible study online. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so that's been on my heart. In fact, I was prompted to do it by a it's like an international network called Issachar Network. Mm. And it's called the Issachar Network, named after, of course, the scripture in Chronicles where it says that the men of Issachar, for they understood the times. So it's a global network based in the UK, but they actually – I've been in contact with them over the last couple of weeks – talking about how I can be a part of that network and to start my own little Zoom Bible studies that will be a part of that, and to help people just navigate through the times that we're in at the moment, and to just to prepare themselves and to understand where we are in regard to God's time clock.
Amen.
So I think that's the best way to describe that.
Yeah, well, you know, God is raising up a clarion call. He's going to bring teachers out from the caves of Adullam, out of the wilderness, out of prisons. I mean, he's bringing his prepared sons and daughters out into the open so that they can direct the narrative of these times and not allow the propaganda, the news media, the left, and everybody else to, you know, mandate this moment. And so this is our cultural, political battle, our spiritual battle. And so God bless you in your journey. I'm so thankful to you, and I wish you great success, because we're doing StreamYard right now because you actually introduced this whole type of ministry to us. And I'm so thankful for it, brother. God bless your heart. Man, I mean it with all my heart. I wish you the greatest success. I know God's going to launch you everywhere. Not lunch you.
Thanks,
not
brother.
He's not putting you out for lunch. He's launching you.
There's not much of me, so I'm glad I'm not going to be put out for lunch.
There you go. Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. Hey, but let's real quick just say good morning to a few friends. Sharon Evans, good morning to you. Sonia, I was just telling Daniel that we were at your house for a Shabbat Shalom, and his eyes got really big. He said, you were in Tyler? Yes, we were in Tyler with Sonia, and I told him about Scarlett, that. And he couldn't believe it. And I told him you were talking all about Daniel, and God bless you. Cindy is with us. Good morning, Pastor Vincent and Daniel. Bless you both. Thank you for the blessing, Cindy. Shan Lewis is with us this morning. Good morning, Shan and Rusty.
Hi, Sonia.
Yeah, God bless everybody. And Rusty Lester, Pastor Rusty, he's a local pastor here in Northwest Arkansas. Good morning, peace and blessings. Thank you for the peace and blessing, Pastor Rusty. Shalom to you. So let's get started. Daniel, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. I was studying this out this morning, and it's in Luke chapter 22, verses 28 mm-hmm. to 30. And I'm going to just read these verses, then you take over, because I want to get your perspective, because I think this is very important to where we are right now. Luke chapter 22, verse 28. Here's what I was reading, and I thought it very interesting. And then one more verse after this. And here's what it says in Luke 22, verse 28. You know, they make the numbers so small. And here it is. You are they. This is Yeshua. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And he said, you are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's very powerful to me. And then in Matthew chapter 19, he basically says the same thing, but with a little bit different understanding here, because he brings in a very powerful word. And in Matthew 19, verse 28, here's what it says. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, which the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. Okay, let me say that again. That you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And I thought, you know, that's powerful, because we're talking about the regeneration, and I looked that up. And the word that fits that particular passage is the restoration. It's speaking of that restoration of the primal and perfect condition of things which existed before the fall of our first parents. It is the signal and glorious change of all things. Now, what caught my attention also is in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Let me just put it out there real quick, and then I'm going to just release our brother Daniel to speak into this. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21 says, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down in my Father, with my Father in his throne. And then Revelation 2:26, we read this passage, but that which you have already, hold fast till I come, and he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And then the final scripture that I want to put out there is in Corinthians. And what we read in, I believe it's 1 Corinthians, let me get there, chapter 6. And let me just make sure I don't go past it. Okay, so here we are. That's right. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, a very interesting passage of Scripture, because it's talking now to the ecclesia, the church gathered in Corinth. And it says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? All right, Daniel, so here's my question. Jesus was talking about the disciples directly judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he talks about the overcomers that will sit with him in his throne and will rule and reign with him in his throne. And then he talks about the saints judging the world, which kind of fits into the paradigm of the overcomers. Some will rule over 5 cities. Some will have 10 cities. And so you kind of see a global government of Christ on the earth. But let's talk about that passage where Jesus was talking about the regeneration and the disciples judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What's your take on that?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. And in fact, I'll just read from what my version says. It's very similar. It basically says, Jesus said to them, truly, I tell you that at the renewal of all things, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. At the renewal of all things, well, what is that talking about? Well, the Bible says quite clearly that the heavens and the earth will be renewed. The scripture is quite clear. When you read in 2 Peter chapter 2 and chapter 3, we read that the earth is going to go through a renovation, which is probably the best way to describe it. What Peter says, actually, in fact, if anyone has got their Bibles handy with them, you can actually go and follow along with me. If we look in 2 Peter and go to chapter 3, it says this in verse 5, but they deliberately forgot that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being, and the earth was formed out of water, and by these waters also the world of that time. Now, let me just repeat that because it's very easy to miss. By these waters also the world of that time. The world of that time. See, the world of that time before the flood was a different world, okay? But what destroyed that world? The flood. It says, by these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed by the same word. Okay, now this is basically saying, in the same way, this present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, not flood, remember, because God put the rainbow in the sky as a sign that he would never destroy the world again by flood. Present heavens and the earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. And further down in verse 10, it says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And it goes on to say, go down to verse 13, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. Now, this is not going to be like a brand spanking new out of the wrapper earth where God creates it all over again out of nothing. No, this is the same earth, but it's going to be renewed. It's going to be renewed. And not just the earth, but the heavens are going to be renewed, which is going to be incredible. This is exactly what Jesus meant when he said, at the renewal of all things. At the renewal of all things. When he says the renewal of all things, he's talking about a renewal of not just the earth, but a renewal of also the heavens. And what's fascinating about that, Vincent, is that within science, within the scientific branch of cosmology, cosmology studies the universe. That's what cosmologists do. But even within the scientific branch of cosmology, there is another subgroup which is called, and this is fascinating, there are a group of cosmologists that are dedicated to studying, wait for it, eschatology. You're thinking, what, they're studying the end times? Hang on a second. Eschatology basically is Greek for the last things. So these are cosmologists are studying the end of the universe. And one of the fascinating things about their research is what they have discovered is that they, by their research into the universe, going from the very beginning, from when the universe began, from what they say is the Big Bang, but what we know as is when God said, let there be, the universe is constantly expanding outward. It is expanding outward in all directions. And they said that once it actually gets to a point, okay, they refer to this point as the point of equilibrium. It's according to the second law of thermodynamics, when it gets to a point and then the energy peters out. And then what they say is that that's right, because they say that the universe is currently sitting in a false vacuum. So the universe is currently sitting in a false vacuum. And they said that once the universe reaches that point of equilibrium, it then will completely turn on its head. And this is what these scientists said. Now, I'm not saying that that's what will be the precursor to it, but this is what the scientists said. They said within a split second, they said within a nanosecond, the entire universe will be consumed by fire.
Hmm.
Isn't that incredible?
That is incredible.
Now, what were we just reading in 2 Peter? The heavens will disappear with a roar and the elements will be destroyed by
fire.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible that these scientists could determine that. And the thing that struck me was the fact that they also said this. They said that when that happens, when the universe goes from a false vacuum into a positive vacuum, they said the physics of the entire universe will be rewritten.
Wow.
They said that the physics of the entire universe will be rewritten, which is, I think, is amazing. So Jesus said that there is coming a time when it will be the renewal of all things. Jesus said to them, I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne. And by the way, when he does sit on his glorious throne, it alludes to that, actually. When you look in Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 23, it says that the moon will be dismayed, the sun ashamed, for the Lord Almighty will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before its elders with great glory.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that magnificent?
That is magnificent.
It's tremendous.
One interjection. I want to ask, just one quick interjection.
Yes.
2 Peter chapter 3, we look for a new heaven and a new earth. And the last part of that is, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So it sounds like everything that is unrighteous or not measuring up to the mind of God is going to be consumed, so that the heavens, the spiritual realm, and the earth will be filled with the righteousness of God, which is a transformation of men's hearts.
Yes, it will be. But there's more to it with that, and we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
Also, too, if I may digress, I believe Romans 8 has a lot to say about this. In fact, Paul says this. Just let me read it to you. Paul says, for the creation, it waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Let me read that again. For creation waits. It's waiting. It's in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice. Okay. Now, the context of that, read Romans 1, okay, where it talks about the wickedness being subjected. It says, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated, bondage to decay. Now, remember what I said, that when the universe is completely consumed by fire, the physics of the universe will be completely rewritten. It says that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage, decay, all of sin and death and all the things that have brought destruction to the earth will come to an end.
Hallelujah.
And the earth will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Hallelujah.
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 All right.
Verse 22 says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. So it goes on, but I just thought I would mention that. And you were going to say something.
Well, no, I don't want to get in the way at all. There's another verse, a passage of scripture in Acts chapter 2, you probably, or 3, and it kind of adds what to what you were saying. We're in verse 20, Acts 3:20, and he shall send Jesus Christ, okay, putting this in context, he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. Now, that word restitution is the apokatastasis, right? And then just a quick definition of what it says. It talks about the reconstitution, talking about a constitution being rewritten, right? Or the fabric of society. So the reconstitution of a true theocracy of the perfect state before the fall. So the rewriting is the reconstitution, the rewriting of righteousness into the laws of nature once again into the hearts of men. This is the great restitution of all things.
That's Acts 3?
Acts chapter 3, verse 20.
Yep, I'm reading. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's great.
And 21. Yep. And 21.
Yeah. Yep.
Isn't that awesome?
Restore everything. God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. Absolutely. He is going to restore everything. And again, this falls in the line with what we read in Romans 8. For creation has been groaning, looking forward to this, to all this, to when all things is restored, at the renewal of all things. So it's absolutely wonderful. Now, going back to Matthew 19:28, when Jesus said, "Surely I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne." Okay, so this is when Jesus is reigning on his throne in Jerusalem. It's going to be, your senses are going to have a hard time taking in the majesticness of all this.
Amen.
It's going to be an array of splendor that you will just be in absolute in awe of when you see all this take place.
Amen.
There has been no kingdom. There has been no empire. There has been no, nothing will ever come close to the majesticness and the power and the splendor of when the king reigns from Jerusalem. It's going to be extraordinary. But we read something interesting here. Jesus appoints his 12 apostles, and he says that you will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, other people might not realize this, but Israel is going to be the head of the nations in the millennium, okay? And this is what we read in Deuteronomy, where it says that you will be the head and not the tail. You will be above and not beneath. This is going to be where Israel is going to go from being the most hated nation on earth, which is what we're seeing right now. I mean, there's a lot of foment and there's a lot of controversy over Israel simply annexing Judea. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jews are called Jews because they come from Judea. they come from the tribe of Judah, and the tribe of Judah lived in the land of Judea. Okay, so when God reinstates, and when God basically institutes the nation of Israel in the millennium, there are going to be the allocations of land for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. But it's not going to be the same land as was allocated as to do with ancient Israel. Because we know that Judea was in the south. We know that Dan was at the very northern part. And Benjamin was around Jerusalem, and et cetera, et cetera. It's going to be completely different. In fact, if you want to know how the parcels of land will be allocated to the 12 tribes of Israel, read Ezekiel. Ezekiel makes it very clear. I'm just trying to remember, but I think it might be chapter 46 or 47.
Is it 47?
Sorry, 43.
Well, let's see. Let me check it out real quick.
Yeah, check it out real quick. But there is going to be land. And what's fascinating about this, Vincent, is that the land, when you look at it from a map, like a bird's eye view on a map, the land is going to be allocated in horizontal strips, which I think is interesting. Very,
48.
Very interesting.
Yeah, 48. Ezekiel 48.
48.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the land will be allocated like in horizontal strips, like, yeah, so I think is interesting. But each of those tribes, each of those lands, like Judah, Benjamin, Reuben, all those tribes, the 12 apostles will be like governors, governing over each of those 12 tribes in the millennium. This is going to be, this is absolutely fascinating,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
What that indicates is that there is going to be a very well-organized hierarchy of leadership going into the millennium, okay? So what is interesting, Vincent, is that there is another person that sits above in hierarchy of leadership above the 12 apostles. Now, Jesus is going to be king over the entire world. Okay, he will be the king of the world, and he is also will be known as the king of the Jews. But there is someone just beneath him who will be oversee all of Israel, and the 12 apostles will be accountable to him. And we find out who that person is in three verses. One verse in Jeremiah, one verse in Ezekiel, and one verse in Hosea. And some, I'm just wondering if someone will be able to guess in the chat. I'm not sure if someone might be able to pop up and mention who that might be. In fact, I'm not going to wait until they say something.
Okay.
But let me give it away for you. Let me read what Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 9 says. It says this. Instead, they will serve the Lord their God. This is talking about in the money. Okay, when he comes. Instead, they will serve the Lord their God and David their king, mm-hmm. whom I will raise up for mm-hmm. them. Mm. Now, Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 24 says, I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Hosea chapter 3, verse 5. Afterwards, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. So David is going to be reinstated king over Israel, yet David will be accountable to Jesus.
Mm.
Jesus will be the king over the entire earth, yet David will oversee all of Israel. Again, that's continuing on the promise that God made to David in regard that he will be king over Israel. But more than that, the disciples are going to be accountable to David, which is, I think, is amazing. Now, keep that in mind. Remember that we also, when we are resurrected and we will be descending and we will be reigning with him, us resurrected believers will be reigning as well. And we also will have responsibility, which I think is really, really important to understand. In fact, let me see if I can find it. You might remember when Jesus talked about I'm just trying to remember where he says it, but it was in the parable of the miners. Do you know what I mean when I say that?
Yeah, absolutely. When he's giving five cities and 10 cities.
You got it. I think it's
in Luke chapter 19, I think. Let me take a peek.
Yep.
Let's see.
So in Luke chapter 19, he tells a story, and it initially can be interpreted as a parable, but I think it's more than a parable. I think it's actually giving away more about our role as when we actually reign.
Yeah, right around verse 15. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically we will be reigning with Christ. We'll be reigning with him, and we will have responsibility for reigning over the nations. And by the way, just let me quickly read this. This is from in Daniel chapter 7, verse 27. It says, then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole world, under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints.
Amen.
The people of the Most High.
Amen.
His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 says, if we endure, we will also reign with him.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 2, verse 26 says, to him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. And Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10 says, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Just absolutely extraordinary when you read that.
So let me just interject a thought. Let me interject a thought because I'm getting a visual here while you're talking. Can you imagine, Daniel, during this millennium that we're talking about, that Yeshua brought to our attention, that, you know, all the prophets are going to be alive on this earth from the beginning of time to the end of time. All of the men and women of God recorded in scripture, going back to David Wilkerson, Dimitri Dudeman, you go back in time to all the wonderful men and women of God who have been faithful throughout the ages are going to come back in glorified bodies that could never die. This earth is going to be under the sovereign rule and authority. And here in the United States, we have all these governors, but they're not ruling according to righteousness. So people like yourself and others out there, they're going to be governing the nations, and yet the capital will be in Jerusalem, and Yeshua is the king of the earth. David's ruling in Jerusalem, the 12 disciples. I mean, that is absolutely a phenomenal picture of what is ahead of us, and we need to have that always before us. Because, you know, this that is happening is going to diminish. But before we get there, Daniel, before we get to that millennium, and we're marching towards it, there are several things that have to happen right now, correct?
Correct. We were only just talking about that, actually, in our previous Bible study.
Okay.
We must undergo a baptism of suffering before we can enter into the glory of the millennial reign of Christ. The church must go through this baptism of fire in order to partake, in order to partake of the millennial kingdom. Now, just if I could read to you from in Romans chapter 8, and now let me read from verse 17. It says, now we are children, and then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Let me read that again. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Indeed, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. So we need to follow in the footsteps of our Messiah. What did our Messiah did? He went through. He knew that he had to undergo a baptism of fire. Now, by the way, what I think is interesting, Vincent, is that when you look at let me have a look. I think it might be in Mark. In fact, it was when the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus, and they said to him, here it is here. Basically, the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus and said, can you grant that my sons will sit either side of you when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. And then he says this, can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? I mean, people need to understand what Jesus is saying here. And of course, they said, we can.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
But Jesus is talking about the baptism of suffering, the baptism of fire. He's talking about the cup of suffering that he must undergo by going on through the cross. Now, we need to remember the scripture in Hebrews where it says that it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. In the same way that he endured the cross, because of that joy that was set before him, we need to have the same attitude for the joy that is set before us when we consider the millennium, when we consider what it will be like to walk into Jerusalem, you know, with everlasting joy crowning our heads, spending eternity with Jesus, to ever be present with the Lord. That is our joy set before us that we must keep in mind as we endure the baptism of fire, as we endure the cup of suffering in regard to the tribulation that we must undertake. So that puts things into perspective.
Well, it certainly does. And we remember that Paul said that the present sufferings are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. But Daniel, there's an ache in my heart this morning. I got to share this with you. There's an ache in my heart because I was watching a video called Agenda. And there was one called Agenda 2. And I was with friends yesterday that actually received that because of something you had recommended to them. And they did not give us the current agenda, but I watched Agenda 2 with Patricia last night about the communist revolution going on in the United States of America. And I turned on the news channel and I saw what was going on in New York, the defunding of $1 billion from the police department, how ripe New York City is for a nuclear bomb to go off right now. And these cities that are participating in whatever it will be, whether, you know, Russia's behind it and they blame Muslims, whatever the case will be. I'm watching the writing on the wall, literally, in our cities. There's graffiti everywhere. Talk about the writing on the wall. And we sit back, and then you hear these videos about what we could do 10 years ago, 12 years ago, come together, bring our patriotism, fight for America, defend it. And yet there comes that moment where the writing is on the wall, where we understand that it's time to flee Babylon. And we're in something right now around the world. We are in something. It's not going back to normal. And we believe there are two more waves that are ready to hit this nation and around the world, and that this is getting stronger and stronger, and it's coming to a conclusion. And we're witnessing this, and it's heartbreaking to see what this nation, I like what Alan Keyes said when he said, you know, we go back, we return home to God, and there we find America. I mean, that was a brilliant statement, Daniel, but it just seems that things now, 10 years later, after that particular video we watched, is so far down the road. So where are we again? I know we're going into the millennium, thank God, but we've got to endure to the end. And
yeah, that's right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, look, there is a insurrection going on within your country. And the radicals, the communists, the socialists, the Marxists, they can smell blood in the water. They can smell blood in the water. There are the winds of revolution blowing across America at the moment. The whole agenda of defunding police departments is absolutely unfathomably crazy. Crazy. You remove the police and crime and chaos and anarchy will spread.
Lawlessness.
But this is the thing you need to understand. Communists love chaos. Communism and chaos go together. In fact, the communists use the chaos in order to solidify their power. Let me give you an example. What you saw happen in Seattle with the whole Chaz Chop thing, that is a microcosm that can happen nationwide. How did Chaz emerge? The whole autonomous area called Chaz emerged out of the environment of chaos. There was chaos all over Seattle City, and that's how Chaz established itself, because it established itself out of the chaos that ensued. And that's why the left are so big on defunding police departments. And by the way, let me give you a little piece of interesting history. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, we were talking about him tonight in our Bible study, but in Alexander Solzhenitsyn, in his book, he wrote in his book 200 Years Together, he discussed how the Bolsheviks unleashed widespread attacks on police in the run-up to the October Revolution.
Wow. Wow.
Think about that. They unleashed widespread attacks on the police in the run-up to the October Revolution. The Bolsheviks only were able to attain power because they kept this unrelenting, sustained attacks upon the law enforcement in Russia. And then eventually the police basically were at the point where they were at breaking point. The police just couldn't go on because there were so many attacks made against them that they just couldn't hold themselves up any longer, and they couldn't uphold law and order. And the Bolsheviks seized power. So that's how they do it. And this is why America is hanging in a very precarious position at the moment. Now, what I think is interesting is that Michael Flynn, the man who was just acquitted just recently, he said that he said if things keep going together, the 98% of Americans will be at the mercy of 2% of radicals. He said 98% of the population of America will be at the mercy of 2% of hardline radical Marxists.
Yeah,
that is the reality of it. And you would think, well, how on earth is that even possible? Well, it is possible. And we've seen it time and time again. This is exactly what happened with the Bolsheviks. The Bolsheviks were a tiny minority, yet they were able to seize power and basically started their reign of terror. And so I just want to encourage America. You know, there's some parts of America that are too far gone and that are basically already under God's judgment. But there's that scripture that when Jesus says to the church in, I forget which church it is, but he says, strengthen that which remains. Strengthen that which remains. You know, that might be your just a church or your neighborhood, but whatever it is that you can do to strengthen that which remains, you need to focus on that and do whatever you possibly can to strengthen that which remains. You know, if you have a heart for your community, then pray for your community like you never have before. Pray that you will be able to endure to the end. You know, we were reading tonight, Vincent, the words of Jesus in Luke 21. It's Luke 21. I think it's Luke 21:34, and Jesus says, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. So Jesus is saying, listen, guys, you can pray. You can pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen. And I think that is a wise prayer that every single one of us need to be praying as we are seeing the events happening all around us.
Yeah, well said, Daniel. You know, so much rumbles in the heart when we have this conversation. When I think about the Red October and the prophetic reality surrounding our country that October events come. Pastor Dana gave his video dreams about, July, August, September. We believe that's where in those 3 months will be the third wave. I believe the third wave we're going to see, which is going to be the sword of war. We're going to see greater violence than we've ever seen before. And then by the time we get into October, November, December, in that period of time, he saw the fist striking the month of November. And of course, that's our election time. And when I thought about the fist hitting it, I saw lights out. You hit somebody hard enough and it's lights out. And I was thinking about that fourth wave that would come. And wouldn't it be just absolutely amazing for God to be foretelling us to quicken our pace, to really get strong spirit, soul, and body? In our Bible study last night, the whole Bible study was having a strong mind, an unwavering faith, being fully persuaded, having Abrahamic kind of faith, and not being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You can't be going back and forth. You have to be dedicated to what you know God has revealed to you. So intense stuff is coming down the pike. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, there is. There is. There's no doubt about that. If people aren't really sure with what we're talking about in regard to this guy, there is a pastor. Vincent, do you know his name? I forget his name. But anyway, this pastor basically shared his dream. He had this particular dream.
Pastor
I shared
Dana,
his video on my Facebook page. It's also on the Israel Islam and End Times Facebook page. And he shared his dream about what he saw. And I would encourage every single one of you listening to this to actually go and watch that, because it really is harrowing. And I believe that that brother in the Lord is faithful in sharing what he saw. And I believe it resonated within me straight away when he shared it. I thought, yep, 100%.
That's Pastor 100%. Dana. Yeah, Pastor Dana from Kentucky is who you're talking about, the pastor with the orange shirt. And
yes.
He just kind of poured out. Yeah, that's Pastor Dana. And it's going all over the world. And again, I think the dreams are credible. And I believe he's right on. Absolutely right on.
Yeah, I think he is. And I'm glad for that. Okay, you know, the Bible says that he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I believe that God is, and remember, Jesus also said, my sheep know my voice. Okay, and if you are a son or a daughter of the Lord, and you are in the Spirit of the Lord, you will hear his voice. And I think that the Spirit is saying clearly to us as the body of Christ, as the ecclesia, the Lord is saying that we need to prepare. We need to prepare for what's coming down the pike.
Amen.
And it's no more mucking around.
No more mucking
the
around.
The days of being complacent are over. Now is the time to actually seriously plan and organize and to prepare. And listen, even if nothing happens in November, you've done the right thing, because there are still difficult days ahead. But I believe within my gut, I believe that there's going to be significant that's going to happen in September and another significant thing that's going to happen in November. And I just believe, listen, just we just need to be wise. We need to be prayerful. As Jesus said, we need to watch and pray. We need to pray regularly. We need to pray that we may be able to escape everything that is about to happen. And God has the ability to be able to do that. So, God's good.
So he is good, Daniel. And I love the fact that you brought up strengthen the things that remain. You know, you're out there, you're doing the work that God has called you to do. For Patricia and I, we feel that that ministry, we know that that ministry is moving about this nation, finding those who are remaining faithful to the Lord and strengthening them in Bible studies, in home fellowships. In the 1990s, we started home churches and fellowships across the country, and we're getting a release to do it again. We don't necessarily want to live in a house anymore. We want to get into an RV. We have land. We could park it there, but we want to get out on the road and find those remnant groups and go and strengthen them and encourage them. That has been a prophetic call in our lives. It's been prophesied over us to do this. So this is what we want to do at this time. And I would encourage every single individual, and this is a real urgency in my spirit, to tell the people that are listening to this right now. We ministers who have been in ministry for a very long time and being faithful to God by the grace of God, we're doing our part, but you have to understand something right now. You are a speaking spirit. You have the narrative of Scripture, and it is imperative that you go everywhere you go and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone in your sphere of influence. You do not have to wait for a church to be erected to go and preach the gospel. You have a voice right now, and your voice must go forward and proclaim the narrative of Scripture. You have the script of what's going on in the world today, and you need to proclaim it. Don't wait for the pastor to do it. Don't wait for Sunday morning. You have been called to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that we have a vision. We have a ministry. You're out there, Daniel. You're preaching. You're going to be on Zoom. You're going to be teaching Bible studies. You're speaking at conferences. You're writing books. You have ministry. And that is what God is doing. He's raising this up so that there will be no excuse for anybody. And we do need to strengthen the saints of God. We're ready to go. We're prepared to go. And I would just ask people, pray for Daniel that he has a successful launch on his Zoom Bible studies throughout the nation. Pray for us. Our job, we want to be in an RV. We want to go in an RV. We want to travel across this country as long as we can, finding those groups. In 2 weeks, we're going to be up in South Dakota. We're going to be with Pastor Dave and his beautiful wife, Victoria. Pastor Dave's going to be on the air with me tomorrow right here on Omega Radio. So you're going to want to tune in to hear his heartbeat. It's absolutely on fire. And so we're going to be traveling up there, meeting with several groups of people, strengthening them. And we want to just keep on going, finding those remnant groups of believers who are like-minded that need to be strengthened, encouraged, and maybe some information and knowledge. We believe here at New Wine Ministries, this is what we've done for 11 years in Northwest Arkansas, strengthened the saints of God. We have a beautiful congregation. We're committed to it for life. But we also know that there's a time to go out there and establish those home fellowships that I believe God revealed over 28 years ago that need to be established. And so we're waiting for those invites. We have a few right now, Daniel. We have a lot of work to do in a short time to do it.
Yeah, and that's what I was discussing that with some friends of mine from the UK, from the Issachar Network. And I shared with them the video from Pastor Dana sharing his dream, and she was blown away, and she said the same thing. She said, boy, you know, we don't have much time, you know. November is not that far away when you really think about it. So we have a lot to do. Now, remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, work while you have daylight, for night is coming when no man can work. While you have daylight, the night is coming when no man can work. I think that is a word that every single Christian, every single believer needs to take on board in these days. We need to be as productive as we possibly can in these final days, in the lead up to what will be unfolding. We need to do as much as we possibly can. We need to share the gospel with as many people as we possibly can. We need to pray for our loved ones that are not with the Lord at the moment. We need to fast and pray for them, and to beg with them, to beseech them, and to plead with them and say, come back to the Lord, come back to the Lord. And, we really need to do whatever we possibly can to bring as many people back to the Lord as in these final time that we have. And listen, I don't know how productive we can be in the days after whatever happens and when everything comes to a head. I don't know. I'm not sure whether we could still, whether we will have freedom to be able to do certain things. We'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens, how everything unfolds. But I think there is an urgency. There's definitely an urgency in the spirit where the body of Christ needs to prepare. Remember that those wise virgins took the time to prepare and to stock up on oil. They understood that the night was going to be long. Let me say that again. Five wise virgins knew, that the night was going to be long, and they prepared accordingly. So we need to prepare. We need to keep in mind that the night will be long. Although Jesus said that the time will be shortened, okay, but we need to prepare for ourselves accordingly, and just take on whatever comes our way, and keep our eyes firmly focused on Jesus, and just to remind ourselves that when things are falling apart, things are actually falling into place.
Amen. Amen. Well said. And that's that unwavering faith. That is that without staggering, being fully persuaded, hoping against hope, kind of faith that we need to have, and a sound mind, a very definite set mind about what is happening. If we're wavering, well, maybe we're in it, maybe we're not, maybe it'll all go back to normal, maybe it won't. You can't move. You're paralyzed at that moment. You have to recognize the signs of the times. You have to stop listening to every voice that's out there. Hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Look at the Word of God.
Yeah.
Then look through the biblical lens at the signs of the times. And maybe you're out there today going, what can I do to get involved? Well, you're looking at Daniel. You know Daniel. He's got an evangelistic teaching mantle. God is raising him up to bring his message. Support him. Get behind him. Support him. Patricia and I, you've known us. We've been in this for 28 years. Support the ministry if you would like to do so. Get involved. I was looking at this, Daniel. Romans chapter 10. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Folks, maybe it's time to allow ministries like these to be sent. We have a vision, home fellowships. We believe we heard that 28 years ago. We saw something 28 years ago, and it's falling into place right now. Home fellowships, communities of believers doing something rather than just observing and sitting on your hands and not doing anything. It must be activation time, and it is getting late. We don't know how much time, and we're not saying the end of the world is in November. This is just a particular phase of judgment out of Leviticus 26,
yeah.
Several phases. We're not saying the end of the world, but this is an intense time. And I do believe that the fourth wave will be here. So we're asking for your support. Pray for us personally, Patricia and I, for that RV so we could get in the RV, hit the road, find those areas where people want to be ministered to. We could do what God told us to do, share the vision, impart the information. Support Daniel and his family. He needs to get out there in conferences. He's doing his Zoom Bible studies. Help him to get things accomplished because he's got an incredible message that is resonating with the times that we're in right now. So I hope that's not too hard to put that appeal out there to the body of Christ. And by the way, one of the ways you could support Daniel is going to his website at Israel, Islam, and End Times. And you could find Daniel mm-hmm. Seckham anywhere. Support his ministry online. You could also support this ministry online by going to our website at nwmglobal.org. Neither Daniel or Patricia and I receive a paycheck for doing what we do. We never have. 28 years, no paychecks for doing the work that we've been called to do. It's totally by faith and dependent upon the people of God that are in this ministry and surround the ministry. So we're ready to go. Send us. Send us. Daniel, final thoughts before we go today.
Final thoughts. Keep in mind that also, too, one thing I thought I'd mention. Listen, the persecution is going to ramp up, and the persecution is going to be full on. It's going to be full on. But you need to understand how God is going to use that persecution. Remember what Jesus said. He said, "But this gospel shall be preached unto all nations, and then the end will come." How on earth is that going to get out to all the people groups that have never heard the gospel? Well, I'll tell you how. By people who are fleeing. People who are fleeing because of intense persecution. So there's going to be people where the persecution is going to be that bad. They're going to be people who have no other choice but to flee. They have to get out. They have to get out of their town because if they don't, they won't survive. And so they flee. And where do they flee to? Well, they go to places where they think where they can find safety. And on the way there, what were they doing? Well, on the way there, you're preaching. You're preaching the gospel. You're sharing the gospel with people who haven't even possibly heard the gospel before. And by the way, this is exactly what actually took place in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, you read something very, very interesting. It says, "On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria." And then it goes on, you read in verse 4, "Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went." Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. That is exactly how it's going to play out. We're going to be scattered. The church is going to be scattered. The persecution is going to be intense. And as people are fanning out, fleeing, they'll be taking the gospel with them, sharing the gospel to people that have never heard it before. You know, even places, you know, I think, Brazil, you know, like the persecution is ramping up against Christians in places like Brazil, and I can just imagine some of those Christians will be fleeing into the Amazon and preaching to tribes that have never heard the gospel before.
Yeah.
So this is going to not just be happening; it's going to be happening all over the world, where Christians are going to be in flight because the devil will be in fury and Christians will be in flight, and the gospel will be going out. It's going to be an exciting time. How is it exciting? I mean, amen. The white horse is being saddled. The white horse is being saddled. The king is coming. You know, these are exciting times. Who would have thought that we would live to see the days that we are in right now? It's just absolutely an absolute privilege to be a part of this last day's generation.
Amen. Daniel, let me just compliment what you're saying and bring that balance out of Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5. And I love this passage. It says here that the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For on all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. I believe God's purpose and his plan that he's revealed for the last days, that there will be home fellowships. The glory of God, the presence of Christ will be in them. God will set a defense around them, even in the midst of the storm. He says it will be a refuge, a covert. He'll put a cloud by day, smoke by day, fire by night. The glory of God. It is time, saints. We are ready. It's time to gather particular like-minded people in your community. Gather together. Let us come there. Let us encourage you, inspire you, and share what God is revealing through the years, and to get things activated, operational, and motivated in your area. We are ready to go. Daniel, thank you so much for joining me once again today. You carry such a great message, my brother. Any final word you'd like to say?
Brothers and sisters, love one another.
Amen.
As John said. So, amen.
Amen. Daniel Seckham, I appreciate you, man. Get some rest. It's late for you in Australia. And ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be it for us right now. Daniel Seckham will be joining us next Wednesday. Tomorrow, Pastor David from River of Fire Ministries will be joining me. And this afternoon, in 1 hour, I will be on KURM Radio, KURM.net, KURM.net, with Ian Rood. And we're going to have a discussion there as well. So I want to tell you, we'll see you tomorrow. And thank you for joining us today on the Watchman broadcast here on Omega Radio. Shalom. We'll see you now, right now on Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Patricia Joy Xavier is now broadcasting a roundtable discussion. Shalom, everybody. God bless until we meet again.